May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is a very real privilege to share in this annual service of dedication. And I first want to thank you as civic leaders, mayors, and all whom you represent in this city of Westminster and in the London boroughs for your vocation and service amongst us, for all you give to us in our civic life, which I see, as many other bishops do, so evidenced as I go about my own ministry. Thank you. It is, of course, impossible to ignore what is and has been going on across the road in Parliament at present. We may seem no further forward after yesterday's vote, but I believe all of us in church and in civil society must ask ourselves, especially at the moment, how we look out and speak up for the poorest and most marginalised in our communities in the days ahead, whatever comes. They are the people who are most vulnerable, however Brexit works itself out. That, in fact, is exactly what we see Jeremiah the prophet and Jesus doing in our two Bible readings. It is how we look out and speak up for the most vulnerable in our society that is the hallmark of a civilized and, dare I say, faithful nation. In our second New Testament reading, Jesus has entered Jerusalem on a donkey and been hailed by the common people as a new king in the royal line of their great hero David. It is the Palm Sunday reading as well as today's dedication reading. As he approaches the temple, the heart of the Jewish nation, the leaders of church and state are not at all happy at the challenge and popularity of this common northerner, and ask him in no uncertain terms to shut his supporters up. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. He refuses, saying, if they keep silent, these very stones will shout out, will cry out. At the end of that week, you will know he is crucified for his words and actions by some of those same people. The stones that Jesus refers to were no doubt the massive stones of the Jewish temple, which towered above as he and his disciples and the crowd approached it. Stones are hard in every sense of the word. They are rigid, firm, and difficult. Yet, in their hardness and toughness, they represent history and truth. For Jesus and the people of Israel, the stones of the temple signified the glory of God, his welcoming presence at the end of their pilgrimages, and a place where the poor and marginalized in society could find help and comfort. The very same could be said of this glorious Abbey Church, whose dedication we celebrate today. As we've heard, founded originally by Edward Confessor and built, rebuilt in the 13th century by Henry III. We thank God for its mission and prophetic witness at the heart of our nation and community politic down the centuries. And may I take this opportunity to say, as he nears the end of his dedicated ministry here and to the Church of England and education especially, we thank God for the ministry of our Dean, John Hall, today also. In these demanding days for our nation, these ancient stones, take a good look. I'm sure you've been staring at them already, but take another good look around. These ancient stones that surround us in this magnificent sacred space, the layers of history they represent, cry out to us, shout out to us afresh down the ages to rededicate our own personal service and corporate work to the glory of God, yes, to the love of neighbour, and to the welcome and well-being of the poorest and most left out amongst us. It was the bad treatment of the most vulnerable that Jesus was furious about. On entering the temple courts, he turns over the tables of those who are selling sacrificial animals for temple worship. You know the story, most of you. His anger was not about buying and selling in sacred space, but about the extortionate exchange rates forced upon the poorest in society, who had to change their money from Roman coin into temple currency. It was a fiddle. If they were to fulfill their worship obligations, the poor had no choice but to fit in with the racket. That was also Jeremiah's concern 600 years earlier in our first reading, as he calls out the leaders of the people for oppressing the orphan, the widow, and the alien in Jerusalem. Like Jesus, the prophet is standing at the gate of the Lord's house, a strategic place at a strategic moment. At this strategic moment in our national life, all the analysis suggests that whatever deal is finally cut across the road, the marginalized and the vulnerable will inevitably suffer the most. Whatever our view, whether a good deal or not so good a deal, they are the ones who will take the biggest hits. So, as we celebrate the dedication of this abbey, I must ask us all, including myself, the most obvious practical question. What do we remain dedicated to in our life in civil society? And more significantly, maybe, who are we dedicated to? Most of us gathered here this afternoon are people of significant influence, even, dare I say, power, in civic, community, and religious life. Dare we show up together again and speak afresh as leaders for the weakest amongst us, for reconciliation in the midst of disagreement, for love in the face of anger and hate. We stand in the gates of power, as Jeremiah and Jesus did, both speak radical and prophetic challenge on behalf of the poorest amongst us. We stand here in this temple, overlooking the Mother of Parliaments, where so much frustration and perplexity has abounded in recent times. We, who are the most resilient, maybe the most prosperous, and the most influential, bear the burden of responsibility for future civic and local action for the weakest. The church, even this church, as well as the state down the years, has not always fulfilled that mission. This is our vocation and dedication. That is what these stones shout out and cry out to us for. And ever, as ever, it will be costly for us in time, energy, and commitment. You can't change the future without disturbing the present. Let me finish by telling you about some other ancient stones. I love to pilgrim walk, and when doing so recently in the Derbyshire Peaks, I discovered that several hundred years ago, the safest trackways across those peaks were marked out by very large stones. These stones, which could be seen at a distance from each other, were markers not only to guide the way safely for travellers, but also to prevent them from falling into dangerous bogs, as well as into the hands of thieves and brigands. In addition, they were good resting places along the way. The local people called them companion stones. Companion stones. The originals are now fallen and worn away. But a modern stonemason has made a replica of a companion stone in the Derbyshire National Park and carved upon it four evocative phrases. Come by, take time, look back, walk on. In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter refers to Christians as living stones. If we, as those living companion stones, are to dedicate ourselves afresh to the well-being of our communities, let us now, especially at this crucial time, make space, not only in this worship, but frequently in our busy lives, to come by, to review our markers of justice and kindness, to take time to consider the needs before us in our communities, to look back on our vocation so far with thanksgiving, and then to walk on with new dedication, to show up and to speak up for a better and more godly future, especially for the weakest and most vulnerable amongst us. The stones of this abbey and the voices of Jeremiah and Jesus still cry out. Amen.